You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got the Vegas Bad Boys here with me, and it's great to see you gentlemen today. I tell you, what a week. All the way around, no matter in what way you look at it, it's just been a crazy week. But I will tell you, overall, in terms of wrestling, it's actually been not a bad week. Not a bad week. A lot of wrestling was going on, and what better way to kick it off than with Wrestle Kingdom 15. So let's get right to it. I am, Sin City, I'm not going to pretend like I knew everything I was watching and see it. What I will tell you is that it is definitely totally different because I've never watched New Japan. It takes a little bit of use to getting to, especially not hearing cheering or booing, but listening to clapping of the hands, and I tell you.
Under sticks.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a very different show in terms of that. But the only thing I have to say is Kota Ibushi.
Okay? Yeah. Your boy has ascended finally.
I'm going to ask you a question about that. But first, let me break it down. He took down Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental titles on Monday. And then on Tuesday, he beat Jay White, which almost looked like, I mean, they said it was 48 minutes. I guess I was just so in tune. I guess I never even thought that that's how long the time went. I will tell you, and this is the question why I want to come to you. After that match, there was at least 20 to 30 minutes of just, you know, him getting his praise, I guess, walking with the new titles. He walked past the announcers. They all stood up. They clapped. I saw one person actually crying. People in the audience, they had their signs and they were clapping. And because I'm sort of still new to this, I'm just curious, what is sort of the background, the history with Kota Ibushi? Because apparently this had to be something that was huge for him to have taken on both nights.
So the thing is, you hit the nail on the head. The title win for Ibushi was huge. Mm-hmm. He is somebody that's been beloved by the Japanese fans for years. Mm. And for whatever reason, he just was not given the run. He wasn't given the championship.
Gotcha.
And it really is akin to like what happened with Daniel Bryan in WWE. Mm. Except obviously one way of looking at it is that Ibushi was never an underdog or portrayed as an underdog as Daniel Bryan was on screen.
Gotcha.
So it was never his time. He had come pretty close. Like he had won tournaments in the past and gotten championship matches, mm-hmm. but came up just short. So it was the coronation of Kota Ibushi and them finally cementing him as a legitimate world title holder.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense there. Yeah. Overall, man, great show. I'm going to let you kind of give what highlights that really stood out to you. I tell you, I did enjoy the Sonata versus Evil match as well. I don't know. You tell me. What's your take on the show, man? You're more familiar than I am.
Yeah, man. So obviously, we talked about the Ibushi Naito match just kind of in passing just now.
Sure.
That match in itself was amazing. Night one, both guys really brought it. I would have to say my favorite match of night one, however, was Will Ospreay versus Kazuchika Okada.
Okay, yeah.
Those guys worked for 35 minutes. They just had an excellent, excellent match. Sure. Go back and watch it. If you have access to New Japan World, that was my, when we talked about, the lead up to Wrestle Kingdom, I had said that that was my dark horse, you know,
yeah.
Contender for match of the night, and it delivered. It definitely delivered. Both guys absolutely killed it. Okada, I was listening to the commentary. Kazuchika Okada is 32 years old.
Mm.
He's 32, and he has, in those 32 years, held the IWGP Heavyweight Championship for upwards of 700 days in a stretch. So we are seeing the new ace of New Japan, and it's really, really great to see that Okada just continues to evolve and to help bring others along with him, mm-hmm. as in the way he did with Ospreay in this match. I see that, you know, the Empire faction that Great O'Khan, his real life girlfriend Bea Priestley,
mm-hmm.
and our boy Jeff Cobb are all in the Empire, and I see great things for them in 2021.
I do have a question about Jeff Cobb. Is it just, and it maybe just me, I'm just coming late, but now that I'm beginning to follow, why does it seem like Jeff loses a lot in New Japan? Is that just his thing, like just to maybe help get up others over, or are they just slowly working to get him to, I don't know, Jay White status? You know, what's the deal with that?
Sure. So the thing is with Cobb is that he is, due to his look and his build, he is an absolute monster, which mm-hmm. anybody who just takes a look at him knows.
Right.
The thing is, what they have been doing, they've been using him in a very, very smart way. He has had a lot of matches where he has looked like $1 million, like as if he's been, you know, a badass in the match, but mm-hmm. comes up just short.
Right.
So in the match, where in night two, where he lost to Shingo, that match is a great example of two guys just beating the absolute shit out of each other.
Right. Yeah.
It was a very, very physical match. Cobb came off looking amazing. And dare I say it, he actually is the one that gained the most, in my opinion, from mm-hmm. night two of Wrestle Kingdom.
Gotcha.
He really put himself over even in a losing effort.
Sure. Yeah. It was actually a good match. Last thing I mentioned, and I'm beginning to read rumors. I don't know if you saw it. Is Jay White done with New Japan? Is that just a rumor, or what is that? What's going on with that?
He just signed a new deal last year or the year before. It was like a 7-year contract.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So unless New Japan is just completely stupid and they are letting him out of his contract.
Right.
This is all just speculation at this point. And it's definitely storyline.
Okay.
It's got to be storyline based.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. Well, good stuff, man. I don't know
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, man.
Steve owes me $10.04.
Oh, shit. What did you think, Matt?
I haven't watched it all yet because it's so funny how people can go, oh, WrestleMania is so fucking long. Why don't they divide it into 2 days? Well, because if you divide it into 2 days, then you're just going to start taking your time watching the whole thing. Like, I'm just like, okay, I made it through the Battle Royal, literally, because the Battle Royal itself, to start the fucking thing, which wasn't even that was the pre-show.
Right, yeah.
That itself was like 48 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, listen, I've watched New Japan over the years here and there. I think that the presentation is always good. The one drawback for Americans is the fact that you're not getting the American promos. That's the difference. That's the biggest difference. And obviously, as you touched on, the crowd is, to me, what a crowd should be, where they're polite, they applaud, they enjoy it. They're not trying to get themselves over like some of the American audiences that we've seen over the years.
Sure.
I do have to say, for just over $10, the content is wonderful. It's a great selection. So it's something that if people don't want to illegally go about obtaining stuff, I encourage you to do it legally because it's fairly affordable. Yeah. So
did you say just do it illegally because it's affordable, or not?
No, do it legally.
Oh, okay. I thought you said illegally. I'm sorry.
No. I would never advocate for the way some people right here in this group watch things.
You must be talking about Impact. Impact still using the black box from Cox Cable from like 10 years ago.
Look.
That's not true, y'all. That's not true. I'm just fucking.
You're going to sit all types of authorities at my house knocking on my door.
Yeah, but they're going to find out you got DirecTV. And they said, well, shit, man, you could steal ours and still get better quality.
They'd probably be like, shit, you still have DirecTV? Because most people done got rid of all their satellites and cable TV.
What's it like having to work five jobs just to afford your TV nowadays?
Well, look, I tell you what, I've gotten down to a point of knowing how to negotiate my price down, you know, because there is so much options out there, it's easy just to say, hey, there's YouTube or what is it now, 85 or $80 a month, and I'm good. And they don't want to lose that. So they'll be like, yeah, we'll talk.
Says the guy that is one of all 12 direct, whatever the cable subscriber you have. DirecTV, right?
Yeah.
There's probably only 50 people that have DirecTV.
Probably. You know. Well, who knows? They're owned by AT&T. And, you know, if you have an AT&T phone line, you more than likely can get a really good deal. That was what that whole merger was about. So don't be surprised if there's a little bit more people with DirecTV than there should be. But
DirecTV, by the way, fuck them, because that merger actually fucking screwed up. I had a great relationship for almost a decade with them, and then they stopped doing anything. They wouldn't adjust shit. It was just like, well, the computer won't let us do it anymore.
Blame it on the computer.
And it's like, well, it's because AT&T is a fucking cocksucker.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And not in a good way.
Well, there's a reason why I stayed away from them when it comes to having a phone line. So, you know, when I saw that go DirecTV, I was like, shit. But, you know, like I say, hopefully, you know, I'm not getting too much of an issue right now. So as long as they behave, I'll keep my DirecTV and Access TV, which we'll talk about a little later. Hey, shout out to the few folks that's in the chat. You can join the chat if you're watching us. Any comments that you want to throw in, feel free to, and we will try to get that on as well. Let's move right along. WWE Raw. Folks, fellas, is Raw seeming a little bit better after Legends Night?
Can't wait to get to three count.
Yeah, look, I'm only going to say one thing about Raw that for me, it didn't make no damn sense. What was the purpose of having, you know, all of the legends in horrible chairs that probably could have been used to hit people with, have them watch the Drew McIntyre Exalted One match? I just don't understand it. Did y'all notice that too? How they were all just sitting across on the top of the ramp, or was it just me again seeing that shit?
No, I didn't notice at all, man.
Again, that was my point. It was the dumbest shit ever. Like they did not utilize the legends like I feel like they should. I feel like if you're gonna have a Legends Night, other than Hulk Hogan in the Hulk Hogan phone, which fuck knows what the fuck that was. maybe he was letting everybody know, like, hey, I know you guys don't talk to me when I'm at the show, but maybe if you call me on the Hulk Hogan phone, maybe you get to know me, but I don't know. But I just felt like they did not utilize them well. This the second year they've done this show, correct? Is it the second year?
Not necessarily.
I could have swore they did a legend show last year. I could be wrong.
You might be thinking of the anniversary, the Raw 25th anniversary show that was done 2 years ago.
It's about the same thing almost. But with this one, I feel like if you're going to use the legends, have them be in everything. Have them be guest referees. Have them actually be the GM for the night. Have them be the timekeeper. I mean, do interviews, something, man. I thought it was a waste of time.
A legends takeover is what you're looking for.
No. Because then that would mean they're on NXT. I want them to be on Raw.
Oh, man. Okay. Was anybody happy to see Goldberg confront?
No. Fuck no.
Why, Steve? Why? Because I think that listen, it's Drew McIntyre. At least Goldberg can fucking, you know, show something against him. Maybe bring something out of him.
Excuse me?
Dude.
What do you mean? Get something out of him?
It's fucking Goldberg. I don't want him on my fucking TV in 2021. Period.
Yeah. But you'll take the fucking 120-pound bloated Chris Jericho?
120?
Well, I mean extra bloated
pounds.
Oh,
okay. I was going to say. It's kind of weird.
I mean, come on, man.
No, dude, honestly, though, like, unless this is going to be a squash match for McIntyre and put him over extremely well, there's no point in doing this. There's no point in doing this. If they, for whatever reason, give Goldberg the strap again, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I have no problems.
But it's expected where that's going to go. Let's just say the dumbest of dumb shits happen, and he beats McIntyre and gets the belt. Well, you're going to fucking keep it for, like, what, two months maybe at the most until the next major pay-per-view and someone takes it off you?
No, you know what will happen?
What?
This Brock is Lesnar? Exactly what's going to happen. I've got a fantasy book since we don't have our normal fantasy booker. So, you know, Goldberg wins the championship match, wins a championship at the Royal Rumble. And he goes on to face, obviously, the winner of the Royal Rumble match. Fucking have Lesnar in there. Lesnar and Goldberg at Mania.
So I'm willing to take bets right now. How long is that match not going to be? I'm going on 2 minutes.
Dude, no, I'm just saying, like, that's the type of shit that WWE would do if they legitimately wanted to piss off.
He's not going to win the Royal, but I would piss off. That would.
If they wanted to piss off a large number of their fans, I mean, that's exactly what they do.
That would do that for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. But you also want to make more money than you book Goldberg versus Lesnar. It's mainstream attraction. That's the whole reason, man. You sit here and you bitch about the numbers going down, and the truth of the matter is that they find themselves damned if they do, damned if they don't in the eyes of the fucking fans. Oh, we're not going to watch it because Goldberg's on, but you're already not watching it anyway.
You make a very good point, but I think most people
hey, don't look. Praise them that way, man.
No. But check this out. Most people probably don't want to see this shit or even a Goldberg and fucking Brock Lesnar match because we've already seen it. It's not so much that the match is going to be fucking short and boring like two old men had to get on a treadmill and fucking run for a change. It's just we've seen the shit over before. Come on, come up with some new shit. I get it. We're probably not going to watch it anyways, but I don't want to see that shit for the third time or the second time.
You've never seen, and this comes down to this, you've never seen McIntyre versus Goldberg.
Here. Yeah, but I've also not eaten a pistachio ice cream, but I still don't want to eat it. It's not interesting.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's one way to not have it as ice cream, but you enjoy the nuts in your mouth, so therefore.
And with that, let's
move. That was pretty darn good, man.
All right, let's move.
Get you back
right over into Impact Wrestling as they're getting ready for this weekend's pay-per-view of Hard to Kill.
Speaking of nuts in their mouth, hey, DJ, how's those Impact nuts taste?
Salty.
Listen, I got to tell you, they ran their Genesis show on Impact Plus. I'm not going to really talk about that because it's nothing really happened. But they put a really good show on Tuesday night to help push everything that's going on for Saturday. To start off, they did have the semi women's knockout title match with Havoc and Nevaeh versus Jordynne Grace and Jazz. And the winner of that was actually Havoc and Nevaeh. And I actually thought, you know, I thought maybe Jordynne Grace and Jazz would win. I thought Jazz was maybe ready for another run for a little bit. I know she
Oh, God, who wants to see Jazz?
Wait, what's wrong with Jazz?
She's 96 years old. We've already seen her.
Oh, get out of here.
Come on, why don't they give her something new?
enough people haven't seen Jazz. That's the problem, you know. But nevertheless, so it'd be Havoc and Nevaeh going against Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz on Hard to Kill. So that should be really good. I'm going to guess Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz is going to win that one. So we'll see.
You sound like you're very excited just to see those two on TV in general.
Well, listen, they are very beautiful women, absolutely, but they're also great competitors, okay?
Oh, you're so full of shit.
The way you said that, man. That was how you really feel.
Hey. All right. Check this out. Your boy, Sin City Steve, Tony Khan, took out another ad on the show with his boy Tony Schiavone. And this is what's funny. I like this. This is the quote. Since it's the holiday season, we are here to help the less fortunate. We're talking, of course, about Impact Wrestling. Wow. For real? For real? Wow. Okay. And then at the end of the segment, he attacks Don Callis, pretty much saying that he is the parasite in the wrestling business. Okay. I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm hearing coming from Mr. Tony Khan here. He's going hard. What you got to say, Matt?
Well, you know what really pisses me off about this whole thing, though?
Yeah.
Is that if Tony Khan believes this, mm-hmm. then why the fuck are you allowing any of this to happen? It's bullshit. If they're less fortunate, you're not putting them out, fine. But if you're saying that Don Callis is a pimple on the ass of, you know, AEW wrestling, then why is Don Callis there? He's not under contract.
I don't think they're playing that up as Don Callis, like as if he's allowing Don Callis to be a part of this. Don Callis is acting as if he's making his own self a part of what's happening with Kenny.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's showing up week after week on your TV product. At some point, when are you going to get, like, I don't know, the police to take him out of your fucking building if you don't want him there? At least the WWE even makes that attempt to make it seem like it fucking makes sense.
Right.
Aspect of it doesn't make sense. It's an inside shoot. It's funny because it's like, you know, nudging your buddy, but at the same time, it's like, if you're in control of your company and this guy keeps showing up week after week,
right?
You have power. It's your fucking company.
No, that's true. But, you know, overall, I think he just wants to see, you know, what comes of all of this. I think is how he's trying to play it up, right? Anyways, Taya Valkyrie, she did confront Deonna Purrazzo, and they're going to have their women's knockout women's match at Hard to Kill. So that should be really good. And by the way, Taya Valkyrie looked very, very beautiful that night. I just want to say that for the record.
Apparently, you called her Taya Factory. I was like, dang.
I like how you adjusted your tone and your volume as well when you were saying it.
Well, you know, I don't want her hubby to find me. I'm just saying, you know, she wasn't in her regular ring attire and when she came out with, yeah, you know. But
this should put in a text to Mr. Morrison. I don't know. For real. Insane here, man.
Michaels is going to get Jemo on the line.
Hey, right. Ho, ho.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the big match everyone's talking about, where you're going to have Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers going against Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. Apparently, in the show, they were going to go jump them on their bus. But as they, Rich Swann and Motor City, was walking to their bus, apparently they got jumped by the Good Brothers. And, you know, the way this is going, the way that they keep getting beat down and Impact's always just being talked bad about. Listen, it's either, definitely one thing's not going to happen. Rich Swann and Motor City is not going to get pinned. That's for sure. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but they can't. I don't see how the storyline could be how they're just completely being shit on constantly. And then they end up beating their guys.
Because if you want to make sense of it, have the Good Brothers turn and cost Omega the fucking match.
Hmm.
Turn on him during the fucking, you know.
I mean, that is, yeah. But do you see that coming, though?
No, because they don't book sensual sometimes.
Yeah.
Unless sensual, you're talking huh? about the, yeah, sensual, unless we're talking about the Kira Hogan. And,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see that particular match. I want to see what comes out of that. The last thing on the show I thought was pretty cool. So if you remember, during the time, Deonna Purrazzo had hired Father Mitchell to turn Sue Young back to Susie. So they followed up on that storyline, and finally Deonna caught up with Father Mitchell and said, "Hey, is it finally done?" And yeah, Father Mitchell's like, "Well, you know, she isn't Sue Young anymore, you know, so I did fix that." And then who comes out of the door? Susan. Susan is now her name.
And with
the
glasses.
And yes. All right. Looking like the office secretary, okay? And I tell you, I'm loving to see where this is going to go. Good stuff all around with Impact Wrestling, you guys. If you can, another one to try to watch this weekend. A lot of things is going on with there. I'm not going to even mention about the whole thing with Chris Bay and Rohit and Manic. You know, we don't, you know, let's just unmask him, you know. Great stuff going on. Impact Wrestling, that was the show. A lot of stuff was going on this Saturday again. Try to catch it. I'm sure it's going to be great. Let's go over into NXT New Year's Eve with our very own Simon Street. How was it, man?
I don't know, man. After that intro, I think it might be better if you do it. No, I'm playing.
You didn't watch the show again.
Oh, my gosh. How many times are we going to go there with that, man? But it's cool. It's cool. Yes, NXT Evil was pretty decent show. I enjoyed it overall. You know, some of the highlights that were interesting to me were just starting off out the gate, Karrion Kross versus Damian Priest. Really good match. Those two, at least from what I saw, really worked well together. I enjoyed it. I mean, from start to finish. I mean, especially toward the end, you know, the banter. But, you know, fortunately, Karrion Kross, you know, put Damian Priest down and won. I mean, it was a very good match. I think it's great to have Karrion Kross go up against a competitor like Damian Priest. And, you know, we need to get used to Karrion Kross. And I'm glad that, for me, they're doing it this way versus immediately just launching them back in to the title picture immediately. So,
yeah.
Well, they also, but don't forget, they needed a way to get Damian Priest out of NXT.
Well, that's true, too. And it's funny you say that, because the way Karrion Kross did toward the end, Damian Priest says, "I'm still standing, bitch." And then Karrion Kross said, "Okay." Hit him with another Saeeda, and after that, hit him in the back of the head. Great match. Other than that, pretty much, you know, a couple of things to look for. I mean, Big Boa and Xia Li came back from the Shadow Clan Ninja School with Sang-Shun in the middle and shit with the mask. Looked really, really cool.
I will say, that intro was pretty tight.
Hey, I'm gonna be real with you. Xia Li a little baddie. She looked like Chung Li. She looked like Chung Li where you had the pink outfit instead of or the reddish pink outfit instead of the blue outfit. Yeah, she was looking much like that.
She looked more defined. Like she really took this time to really get stronger.
She was definitely more defined.
you know what they really did too. Very, very smart. Is they put her against a totally different body type we're not used to seeing on NXT.
Yeah.
And that worked because she looked like a beast going against like a lamb to slaughter.
Right.
Fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, another good match that was interesting to watch is, and I'll say it because, you know, Raw happened, but, you know, Lucha Party, a house party is making, a nice little splash in the water on our TV screens a little bit more than usual. They get to actually talk to hot, beautiful legends in the background on Raw. Besides the point, you had the NXT Cruiserweight Championship that pretty much had Santos Escobar versus Grand Metalik, and it was really good. It was a really good Lucha Affair. Match, and I enjoyed it. Unfortunately, Grand Metalik couldn't get it done, and Escobar still is champion. But for me,
unfortunately, he isn't gonna win that.
I know, but hey, you know what, man? I like Grand Metalik, man. Especially now that he talk more. So you know,
oh, good God,
look, man, somebody got to pull for him. God dang it. Anyways, besides the point, there was lots of good matches, but the one match I want to talk about is the match that I've been hyped about every time I've talked about NXT. And that is The Last Woman Standing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I am telling you right now, that was a defining match. Rhea Ripley, Miss Gonzalez, who I call it, because I'm just letting you know, like, that's what I'm going to call her from now on, because she is on her way. And that's as far as I'm concerned with it. I mean, hard-hitting, great utilization of the type of match that I would say the coolest shit ever is they was fighting in the back and freaking Sin City's ex-girlfriend came out going to interfere and everything. Why Rhea Ripley stuck her ass in a fucking locker?
Yeah, and how is she even able to fit in one of those lockers?
She's tiny.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
That's the reason.
Well, I can tell you right now, most inventive way ever. Next year ends award needs to go to her for something because I was just like, wow. But that match was really from start to finish really well. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that they did that. I don't know what's next. I don't know.
Did anybody was surprised at the outcome or of that match or?
Mm-mm. Okay. Nope. The right person won.
Gotcha.
They had to.
That's one way of getting Rhea off of NXT. Yeah.
Well, that's right. What I was going to bring up next. These are pretty much sending off matches that I was talking about. You know, they're going to be called up very, very soon. The one thing I'll bring up, just because it may be a couple weeks before we bring it up, and then I'm going to say that's it for NXT for me. But Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, where would you like to see them go? Real quick, if you can.
AEW.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Ripley to, I'd say, SmackDown. Yeah. And Priest to Raw.
Same here. That's exactly what I was thinking. What about you, Impact?
I would agree with that.
Okay. What about you, Matt?
It makes more sense to do that, but I got a feeling they're going to do it the opposite.
Put of course.
so she can go against Charlotte Flair again.
Yeah, little build towards that maybe. I don't know. It just seems like Rhea would make more of an impact potentially for Raw ratings to kind of give those a nudge. I think if you put Damian Priest on Raw, it doesn't give you any push. That would be my only reasoning to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. I mean,
NXT, NXT championship match, anyone?
I was going to let you recap the whole show. You might as well talk about that.
Recap that whole show. I left
the
out.
The fuck, like, you didn't?
I left out almost a third of what was left. I did. I only talked about three matches.
Straight.
I did. Three matches. Call it back.
Continue. All
right. No, I just want to say, the NXT championship match, you know, with the Prince versus the O'Reilly one is what I call them. Really good match. I mean, for a second time around, I mean, really just technical wrestling at its finest. It was everything that I wanted. I'm going to be honest with you. I already knew that, you know, the outcome was going to be what it was. It just is what it is. That's the only reason why I didn't really want to talk about it too much. Other than it was being a really good match, I already knew what the outcome was. What do you guys have to say about that?
I mean, I thought that this was the last two matches on this show really set an amazing ending to this event. Yes, I thought that, you know, the Karrion Kross match at the beginning got everything started, but it definitely hit kind of a lull in the middle. These last two matches really picked everything up. And by the time that, you know, Balor and O'Reilly happened, I was pretty amped up. Those guys delivered, and amazing, amazing work by both guys in that match. It really was an example of two guys beating the shit out of each other. Something that I said earlier about a match in, you know, at Wrestle Kingdom. Same thing applies here. Both guys just took it to each other. It was awesome.
Yeah. I really hope that we see this lead to one last match, and that would be for O'Reilly to be just furiously frustrated in himself and really wants one more matchup, and Finn doesn't want to give him a match. You know, hey, you had your shot, boy. We did it twice. That's okay, fella. And then O'Reilly gets the demon, because we haven't seen the demon, and it would be one last shot for O'Reilly to finally get a win over Balor, you know, build it up, but have it take that little turn of, hey, he's not wrestling Finn. Oh, you don't want Finn. You're going to have the demon.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that would be a potential setup, but also it also brings the question about Undisputed Era and what they're going to be doing, because of the fact that the way that O'Reilly looked at the end of that match said a thousand words, man. It totally sets up anything they want to do, because he sold it so fucking good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you had if you wanted to cry because you look at someone's face, that was that feeling, like looking at your like son who just got fucking his ass beat.
Yeah.
And was so close to winning.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? It's the way a lot of people look at when they look at their paychecks.
Look, I would tell you this. All of those were great times of the, you know, great parts of the show. I was really entertained once again by Gargano having this police escort. Let me tell you, if you were to just do yourself a favor and just, if you're watching that and you decide, let's just say you wasn't into wrestling and you just decided to flip channels and you ran into that commercial and you saw that escort, you would stop at what you were doing and going, what is going on here? Okay.
And they were cutting back and forth between.
Right.
Medics checking, the refs checking on Ripley.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Police are, dude, yeah, right. Great.
Listen, I usually don't watch commercials because it's all DVR, so I fast forward. But for that, I just sat there and watched it because I just really wanted to see, you know, them do this, which they did. Excellent stuff. Ah,
Gargano. Hey, for anyone listening or watching, DJ has a birthday coming up near the end of the month.
Oh boy!
If anyone wants to get him that same exact coat Dexter Lumis was wearing, DJ needs a smoking jacket. That would be amazing.
Hey, I'll wear it. Okay, I'll wear it.
With the white slippers.
Right along with the white slippers,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, boy, mm-hmm. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Sin City, Steve, you're going to probably like this as we move over into AEW. I am officially a fan of the Acclaim. It's done.
Okay.
It's done. And listen, once again, comes out, new lyrics. I like the beat. The lyrics was on point. He called your boys connected with Jannetty. I mean, when I heard that line, I must have lost my mind. I'm seriously. I like the camera movements. Everything was right about that. The package for them is there.
Now if they could only wrestle, it'd be.
that's what I'm hearing. It's like, well, I think they're horrible.
We're working on that. We're working on that.
Yeah. We're working on that.
Hold on. You better send their ass to the same place Zia Lee and Big Boy asked me to. Sang Shun's ass.
I mean, I don't know. I really enjoyed that, and I think they at least is going to be my favorite when it's time for them to come out. Hopefully the wrestling will come. That's what you get out of a lot of these guys off the show. You know, over time, you hope that they become better as they continue to progress within the business, you know. But right now, they got my attention. So from there, man, I tell you, what's your take on AEW this past week?
One thing that was really cool with that match specifically was you have to look at the full framework of the match. You've got the Young Bucks and SCU mm-hmm. against the Acclaimed and the Hybrid 2. So mm-hmm. realistically, you've got two teams in there that are without question at the top of the business and have been for quite some time in the Bucks and SCU.
The Bucks and SCU.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant that they were the I thought the other guys were the better wrestlers.
No.
Oh.
Fuck off.
Wait, you enjoy watching 50-year-old men wrestle now? I thought you just said Goldberg. I don't want to see that, but
If they can go in the ring, if they can go in the ring, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, hold on.
But
for longer
lest we all forget, Goldberg dropped the Undertaker on his fucking head last year. God only knows what's going to happen this year. Hey, man. Damn near killed the Undertaker.
Hey, Drew ain't going to let that happen here.
Undertaker doesn't die. Second of all, it was the Undertaker's fault for being so damn big.
Oh, boy.
Whatever you say, bro. But so anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, this was great to, you know, put a team like the Acclaimed in there against those two teams, so that they did have a, you know, what I hope is the first of many encounters with those guys. And obviously I know that the Acclaimed, they've been kind of they've been connected with the Bucks, and they've had a match and stuff like that. I can only hope that, you know, these guys are able to help to elevate them. And as you said, help them to get better in the ring.
Yeah.
Because they definitely have the it factor. They definitely have the charisma.
Right.
Now they just need to sell themselves as being a credible wrestlers.
Right.
And print money all day.
Yep.
Throw the belts on them.
I agree.
So that's huge. And obviously, I mean, the Hybrid too, they're no slouches themselves. You know, Jack Evans and Helico, they've been doing this forever. Two really, really underrated workers on the roster right now, for sure.
Yeah.
Something that I thought actually, I don't want to call it a letdown, but was a letdown, mm-hmm. was the Wardlow-Jake Hager match. I didn't think that it was as smooth as it could have been. You know, this match would have deserved a better build without question. It was just a kind of a shotgun build. And then they had him work for 15 minutes in a match.
Yeah.
Which wasn't the cleanest match. There were some things here and there, but I think that I can only hope that they choose to revisit this somewhere down the line and actually
give
it some build.
No.
What?
Oh God, no! I don't want to see those. It's bad enough you have one Hagar, let alone now Hagar. Two of them.
Hagar,
Hagar.
He might be more enjoyable if he just went by Hagar.
Probably. So because I'm not going to recap the entire show like Simon Street did with NXT.
I fucking didn't. It was
fuck yeah. I left. All right. So you. Next we're going to talk about what I believe to be the best match on Wednesday.
Sure.
Yes. By like a freaking nose hair. Because you did have two amazing matches on NXT, but the Rey Fénix Kenny Omega match was absolutely everything that I thought it could be. It was just amazing action from both guys. Fénix continues to show that he can put on amazing matches when the pressure's on in the main event. So hopefully this will help him to distance from still being in his brother's shadow. I think that Kenny Omega is doing some of the best character work that he's had in his career right now. And it's been really fun to watch. There have been people that have said, oh, Kenny can't talk. He's, you know, that's the only thing that he can't do. You know, that's the one thing that he's missing. And now you add in an amazing person on the mic like Don Callis. And let's be real. Anybody who suffered through that WWE, ECW, WCW invasion angle bullshit 20 years ago, they weren't really given a full-fledged invasion angle. So a lot of us are looking for that.
They owned all the company. You can't even compare it.
Well,
come on, man. They attempted to do that on TV. That was the premise of that.
But you already knew that it wasn't going to be living up to any expectations that everyone had because you didn't even have an ECW or WCW at the time. Of course, this is going to be more exciting to you because you actually have Impact where you can show up on or AEW can show up on. It wouldn't be the same if AEW absolves Impact. It wouldn't be the fucking same. Period. Gotcha. It's unfair comparison.
Well, no, you can think that all you want, bro. That's cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
And obviously, the match culminated, and Kenny Omega picks up the win.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the Good Brothers come down,
that's right,
and appear on AEW TV. I guess it would be 2 years too late, because obviously Tony Khan wanted them for the first edition of AEW Dynamite. At least that's according to Big Money Dave Meltzer. They were rumored to be showing up to take out Kenny Omega, and the third person in their group would have been AJ Styles. Take that as you will. And notice how I used finger quotes. Yeah, whatever.
I'm proud of you.
Honestly, I'm more excited about this than what I would have been about that, I think, because we did finally end up seeing a little bit of a Bullet Club reunion. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing was you had the announcers actually saying, well, where do they stand? Whose side are they on? Bullshit. You knew it right from the beginning. You know, when the Bucks were out there, whose side they were going to be on, you know,
right.
They obviously were going to throw up, as they called it on commentary, that hand sign. Cause obviously they can't say too sweet because of the whole, you know, cease and desist. So, the show ended with the five guys in the ring, Omega, the Bucks and the Good Brothers all doing the too sweet. It was too sweet.
Yeah.
So you get pissed that Goldberg comes back, but the second rate ripoff of NWO ending a show is like, oh my God, this is give me more. Come on. Come on.
You and your false equivalencies, Michaels.
For real.
Come on, dude.
What he said plus piss and vinegar.
No, man. You can't compare the two. Goldberg is literally a 50-plus year old piece of shit that can barely work. And Contrast that with a second-rate NWO ripoff faction. Fuck out of here. Everyone in that group can work, can put on coherent matches, and they don't have to work part-time.
Yeah,
not even the part. Same fucking, not even the same book, let alone the same page.
Mm. Well,
all right.
Well, can I make a correction? Goldberg is more like if He-Man had a midlife crisis, you know, that would be Goldberg.
Really?
Yeah. I bet you if you stood next to Goldberg, you smell like Bengay.
I wanted to make, oh boy. I just wanted to make two comments. You guys tell me if I'm what your take on it. The Matt Sydal and Cody match. So the first one, it seemed like Matt was doing one of the moves off the ring, and I guess you can look at it as it was being botched. I'm not exactly sure if it was Matt's fault or if it was Cody. I mean, Matt seemed like he was on point, but the second time, though, was when Cody was out in the ring. Matt jumps off the rope with his two knees, now to Cody's shoulders. And now I clearly see that Cody just didn't fall back as he should. He actually twist to a point where, thank God, I guess Matt Sydal wasn't really injured, but his knee looked like that it could have been. And the question I'm just wondering is, because it could look like Matt Sydal is really fucking up, but I'm wondering if this is really Cody's mistake. Are you seeing the same thing, or were you guys seeing that maybe this was just Matt still having the same issues he's been having since he started on AEW? You think that's what it is? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what first came to my mind. I'm like, damn, deja vu. Almost. I mean, different spots.
Because I wasn't sure on the ring. That seemed like, you know, that could have been him. But the second time, it looked like that could have been Cody. And then I'm just thinking, like, because I'm just wondering why so many of the mistakes. I mean, he's a veteran. I know he's up in age, but, I mean, he looks great. I'm not saying that he's a horrible wrestler. He isn't. But it's just a lot happening there that shouldn't with Matt. And so
basically what you're saying is that Cody was tanking him on live TV.
Not necessarily purposely, but
I don't know. To me, it sounds like you said purposely. Hold on.
Not exactly purposely.
Sometimes you got to call a beaver a beaver.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Big ass fucking beaver.
I'll let that stay where that stays, okay? Last thing I want to bring up, okay? So we already know about their women's division, right?
Real quick, bro.
Yeah.
You talked about the Sydal Cody match.
Yeah.
You didn't even talk about Snoop.
Oh, move him a little bit closer so I can do the Snoop slash. Move him closer.
I like Snoop, but man, I thought he was about to hurt himself. Okay.
No, he wasn't. He was gonna land on his feet.
He wasn't gonna hurt himself.
He landed on his feet.
He could have broken a couple of Serpentico's ribs, but
yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Would that really have mattered to anyone if
Serpentico was out of trouble? Plus, I mean, Snoop's what, 135 pounds soaking wet?
And he's not even probably that.
According to Excalibur, I think he's 10 feet tall, isn't he? Wasn't Jericho and Excalibur just overselling that?
Right.
What weren't they overselling?
Yeah. I like at the end how he went over there and gave him love, you know, totally threw Jericho out of character, and he had to go back and go, hey, I still hate this guy. but after shaking his hand and smiling and shit. But anyway.
It's awesome when that happens, right, Michaels?
Yeah.
With the women's, right, let me just tell me if – just tell me what you think it is. So if there are divisions already in the shitter, why would it not matter to allow – because I really now – I'm paying a lot more attention to Abaddon. She is scary looking. She is frightening. Whoever does that makeup, if she does it her own, whoever, they do an awesome job. She literally, to me, could be the taker of the women's division over time, because you never could kill her. She's insane. Okay? Why not give her the belt? Why does Sheeta, she's had it. I guess you can call her a great champion, whatever. Shows up whenever she has a match. Whatever. Why not give the belt to Abaddon and allow her from this point, as they continue to work on their division, to have that that mysterious look she has help sell her to continue to win these matches going forward? What would be the problem with that?
Because it would get stale and boring the minute she win the damn women's title, and you're not going to be as excited as you are right now about her.
Why? Why not?
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So, because it's better for the bad guy to stalk your ass. You know, throw up on you and your title.
I'm not
the back of your neck.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm not necessarily excited for who they've had as champions. She does great, right. But it's like, it's whatever. It's like, okay, she got
it
back.
She don't need it.
But what?
She don't need it.
So what? So did you ever on Christmas morning wake up and look under the tree and you got all these packages, but then you have one package that stands out, looks fucking amazing. And then when you sit there and you're opening this thing up and you're thinking you're going to get like a PS5 or something, and you open the lid and it's like a fucking pair of socks.
Every fucking year.
You mean Big Show socks? Because the PlayStation 5 box is fucking huge, man. It's a huge ass.
So you don't. So you apparently you don't see potential in her now. You don't see any in the future either.
I really don't.
Interesting.
I really don't. And okay. I don't think.
I don't know. I just
character doesn't. Listen, Sue Young does it better.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
Well, true. I give props, but this is their version of that.
I would have to say that I wouldn't necessarily compare Abaddon to Taker, but I would definitely compare her to like a dollar store version of The Fiend, maybe.
I thought you were going to say the Boogeyman.
No. Although Boogeyman is a good parallel too.
It is. Although she can work a little bit more than Boogeyman, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. It looks great.
Okay.
You're excited when you see it. And then when you actually get to the bones about it, it's like, oh, this is not as good as we thought it was going to be.
Reason why I will add one thing. I do believe that when you have a gimmick like that, it's good to do it how Finn Balor does it, how he separates himself from the demon. So you can at least kind of control that very well. I mean, Sue Young does it as well. I mean, with her different variations of herself now. But I'm saying, like, you got to be able to detach that away, you know what I mean, and only bring out the bag. No one's going to be able to do what Taker did. So that's why it makes no sense to try to compare anybody at this point really to Taker. I mean, that might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, just saying.
And you also – you got to remember, too, you also have a different situation, too, with her, not only DFC Young, but you also have Rosemary.
Yeah.
You've got three women who are essentially doing a version of a demon character.
I get it. But when it comes down to the selling of it, I think at the moment, Abaddon does a great job of doing just that. She looks horrible. I mean, Sue Young, listen, Sue Young, at some point, yes. I mean, she doesn't look as bad as this woman does.
All right, but Rosemary and Sue Young, if you watch them wrestle, they can wrestle.
Right.
Abaddon's like feral. She's like feral in the ring. You know, like I'm saying, her actions are very feral, like wild.
But even
you don't put a title on her now. You have to let her develop. Because basically, we're already shitting on the women's division. You want to really sink it? Put it on someone who's just not ready in the ring. It will fucking kill their division totally. Okay. You might as well throw fucking Wendy Richter in there.
Okay. All right.
But I will say this. Michaels is exactly correct. When you have a character like Abaddon, the best thing you can do is let that build so we get used to it. We get a backstory. We get an arc, a character arc, because if you don't, it's she's going to have to transform into something else.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't have never even brought her out yet until then she was fully ready, because if she was fully ready with that particular character, I believe that could have been sold as being a person that could hold that, get the title and hold it.
Well, the character's ready. We ain't ready. That's the thing. We're not ready. You can't just push a whole goddamn Abaddon character down your mouth. It takes time. You got to eat it bit by bit.
Yeah, but make it... Okay, but having her lose, how is that also building?
Look, man, if I was in a Friday the 13th movie and I tried to kill fucking Jason Voorhees, you better believe that motherfucker's gonna go, come back. She's a fucking demon. She's gonna come back, man. You kill her thoughts, you can't kill her. You said it in the beginning. Can we move on?
Did you just get your ass handed to you by Simon Street?
I guess so. You know?
Yeah.
As long as that makes them feel good, I'm all about making people smile and live in that moment. Let's move over into SmackDown.
Hold on. Oh, you just sounded like my dad about to whoop my ass. I'm so glad. So glad.
Well, he kind of is the dad of the show. I mean,
yeah. Well, he sounded like he gonna whoop my ass, or when we get in the car, because yeah,
don't worry. Don't you worry. As soon as the stream ends,
I'm gonna get my comeuppance.
Yep.
Like you said, sir. Let's move on. All right. SmackDown. What you got for me, Matt Michaels?
I gotta say, Sami Zayn is one of my favorite people on this planet.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree.
Oh my God. As he's walking down and he's just building this, I'm going, if they don't have him get pinned in fucking 5 seconds, I'm going to be so pissed. And that was just beautiful. It was just so fucking good. That whole gauntlet really was a decent tell. You know, you knew that at some point you were going to have to move up to what they're trying to do with this Adam Pearce angle. I have no idea what that is going to be. But I like the idea of intimidation, like total fucking intimidation, especially with a guy who Paul Heyman, again, man, boy, do you want to just talk fucking gold? But when Paul talked to him about his career and how, you know, you wanted to be WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so sincere coming from his heart. Like, I mean, Paul Heyman is, God damn it. Someone bubble wrap him and like freeze him so that we can have him like every generation.
But you know what? Also too, shout out to the cameraman, because when you see, you know, Adam Pearce is like here, you see in the little corner right here, Paul Heyman. And it just works. And so I don't know if the cameraman really locked in on that purposely or just happened to be on there, but they held that and it told so much.
It's, you know what? And if you watch, sometimes it's the cameraman shots. But even if the camera is not on him, if it was alive, if you're watching it in the arena, Paul is doing it every single moment because he knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the problem with the guys who get the business are there 100% of the moment, every single time they step through the curtain. And when you're not, then it feels awkward. I think that, what's cool is Adam Pearce is definitely put in his dues. He's someone that I think that Paul nailed. You know, what was being said was something that was very true. And Adam tried his hardest, but he just didn't get to that it factor, you know, to where he got the opportunities to be a wrestler at WWE. He's pretty decent in this role, at least for now, which is a nice undefined role. Mm-hmm. It's just talent relations. Okay, that's great. No more commissioner shit. And then you bring along another talent relations type person in the stunningly awesome, you know, seeing what's her face come back. Help me out. What's
about
what's Mandy's love her.
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. Yeah, I was going to say Cruella DeVille. Yeah, Sonya Deville.
I'd be interested. I'd like to see that.
Cruella DeVille has a big talent relations.
Andy. But I think seeing Sonya, hopefully in that role, will at least give her something to do. To, you know, again, stack division, as we kind of talked about last week in a women's division. So I'm kind of excited to see, you know, maybe we'll see Pierce maybe do like less and Sonya will get a little bit more. So it's like 50-50. But the gauntlet really served its purpose. We got to that brutal destruction of Shinsuke, which was, it was just like, oh my God. Oh, and then for Adam not to want to go in there and to force him in and then to just smack him out of the blue. It was just done so precisely and so nicely. Then you have,
doesn't it just anger you? The fact that we're in this COVID right now, because I want to be at the live shows now to actually experience this. That's how great it is, you know, just to be there to see it. I just got upset watching it going, damn, I wish I was there, you know, so you can boo and just say, you know, just to be a fan, you know.
I think that's a very valid point, but at the same time, I think that if there was still a crowd, we never see this from Roman because Vince doesn't have the balls to pull it.
Yeah,
I think this gave him every fucking chance to pull that because he didn't have to worry about crowd reaction because he can control the narrative inside the Thunderdome.
Yeah, makes sense.
So now you wouldn't get too many cheers for the guy that you're trying to get, you know, booze for.
Right, yeah, right, yep.
No, now, did anybody else want Shinsuke Nakamura to actually get his fair, I mean, he won the gauntlet match. You know, like I was like, yeah, I'm actually cool with this.
Without a doubt, man.
Him facing Roman, I could get behind this. All right, because he's been more aggressive. So I mean, you know, but unfortunately, I didn't get my wish. I know. So sad.
Honestly, I think that, you know, his performance in the Gauntlet match actually gave him a little bit of legitimacy back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's largely been stuck in the middle of, you know, he got lost in the shuffle. And I think that Michaels, Jesus Christ.
Well, what are you going to do with a guy who can't speak any fucking English on your show?
Thanks, Vince. Anyway. honestly, dude, you have him cut the promos in Japanese and give him fucking subtitles.
There you go. And then have the subtitles not be what he's talking about. That part.
That works too, I guess. But no, like it was good to see him featured very prominently. I wish that WWE would have pulled the trigger with him back when he won the Royal Rumble initially. But I think that hopefully they're starting to give him a little bit of rehab and give him a little bit of a better showing on the card on a much more regular basis, hopefully.
I mean, come on. They let Lucha House Party loose this week.
So send him back to NXT.
No, they was on Raw, bro. Come on. I know you've seen it. They were talking
on NXT too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I honestly cannot say I remember them on Raw other than I think talking.
They were talking to Melina.
Or Melina. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, when Melina shows up, I remember those memories. I'm just saying.
Do you remember those memories or those memories?
Memories. Because when you look that beautiful.
Did they actually wrestle on Raw?
No, yeah, they did. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So, you know what? But the thing is that you get to the point of what are you going to do? You're going to push Shinsuke? I mean, I don't know. And you got your top dog now. So are you going to have Shinsuke versus Roman?
The way they did it was right. The way they did it was right.
End with Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell his name is,
Adam Pierce.
Paul Pierce.
I'll pay for Paul Pierce. I don't want him to go Nate though.
But you still the rest of the stuff on the show was solid. Really, really very curious to see how the Bailey Bianca stuff is going to play out. I got a feeling we might see a new alliance there at some point.
Yeah.
Bianca and Bailey?
Potentially.
That sounds like some Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
That sounds like Bailey and Irish cream or something like that. Let's face it.
Hey, I would dip Bailey and Irish cream.
There's a Becky Lynch joke in there somewhere, but I'll save her Irish cream for SF. So,
well, the cream's going to the baby. So, I mean,
so going,
she's breastfeeding.
Going back over to the Sonya Deville right quick. I just want to shout her out for just how awesome she looks in wearing these suits.
Yeah.
I think she put most men to shame.
Yeah.
When it comes to how she wear those suits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's bad. I just got to give her props. I've never seen any woman to kill a suit like that. She does it all the time. But this past episode, I was like, okay, that is just off the chain.
You have to really, for someone who's been around for as long as she has now and has had the struggles of finding something, the smartest thing you can do is to reach within yourself and just notch up your own persona just a little bit. And that's what she's doing. This is who she is, man.
Right.
And it fucking fits her. And I want to see more of her because of the fact that she is a very well-spoken, entertaining person, period.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know, if you can fit her into the ring and get her into the ring role, great. But you're doing essentially what you're doing with Alexa, right? You're finding some kind of path that they can play a character that they're really fucking good at. And if it doesn't necessarily mean having to put you in the ring the whole time, fuck, that's great because it adds a depth to the entertainment. And,
yeah,
you know, hopefully saves from having to see something that is, you know, like the Hurt Business or something.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I like that you just
said that was my quick Hurt Business dig for the week.
Let me ask you this, Matt Michael. I'm looking at the chats and shout out to everybody who's in. A lot of people have been commenting. Javon, what's going on, man? He says Big E is not a good champ. Huh? I don't know. I disagree with that. I think Big E is a good champ. But let's talk about Apollo, though. I mean, is he finally becoming relevant here? I mean, you know, he decides to slap, which I'm a – is that the clue of going heel now? Slap Big E, which I was like, man, you're about to get your ass whooped. And he did.
You know, so first off, thank God they had Big E actually like destroy him because I was afraid there for a second that all of a sudden Apollo goes over. You know what? That's again, if you can take something inside of you and notch it up a bit, then you get something that's a little more entertaining to watch. All right. It made it more entertaining. It took a long time to get to that moment, which was a drag. But regarding Big E as a champion, I have mixed feelings because part of me thinks that he could be a fucking just the damnedest of champions. But I also feel that when you continuously re-bring in the like the New Day collapse and shit like that, get rid of it, man. It's over. You separate it. Just let it go. Let it go. I loved his ring gear this week. It was fucking awesome. You know, bring more of yourself to it. Forget the New Day stuff. It's done. Let's see more aggressive. I honestly have been begging for heel Big E forever.
Yep.
And so I'm getting heel Apollo, which always seems to be the,
It's obnoxious.
And Javon agrees with you, Matt. He says you're right. So there you go. I guess you got something going on there.
You know, I will say this, Big E champion. I think a lot of it has more to do with who Big E is going up against, is what kind of championship match we'll get. And there's nothing bad against Apollo. But that's not somebody that I would want, you know, your new Intercontinental champ to really start going through. I want to see the Big E champion go through, I would say, a serious competitor if it ain't going to be Sami Zayn. Do you see what I'm saying? I want him to see, have some epic matches. And I feel like, what's next? Okay, he went through Apollo Crews. Who's next? Who's honestly next?
And, you know, and they already blew it with Sheamus. You know, that's another thing, you know, having Sheamus go to Raw. So, and, you know, and you could have seen, because I think someone of Sheamus' stature, Cesaro.
Cesaro's a good one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of bigger guys. You have to work on bigger guys.
That's right. What I'm saying. We'll see a better Big E champion, because real talk, I was hoping that Big E wasn't going to win the Intercontinental Championship. That didn't mean I hoped for that, but I wanted to see him make a transformation, either being heel by going through Roman and getting destroyed by Roman, getting screwed over by Roman, and then later on being collapsed by exactly what you said, because that's that weakness in you. And so as a character, you shed that weakness. There's a transformation that happens, thus you become heel Big E. To where he's like, I'm not taking shit from nobody. Do I look like a joke? And just rough shop somebody's ass, because the dude is big, you know? That's the way I would book it.
I say just throw a mask on him and have become part of Retribution.
I thought you were going to say Lucha House Party.
Jesus.
If you see Big E as Lucha House Party, that shit would be funny as shit.
Hey, the very, very last thing, man, we do have new tag team SmackDown champs. You guys excited about that?
No.
No.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, let's hear
it. Is it because Rude is in pink?
Let's hear the pro and the cons. Why you like it and why you dislike it. Let's go.
I think the pro is that I'm not seeing with the Street Profits with the fucking belts. They have literally been Raw and SmackDown champions straight through. And I can't think of, like, it's really hard to think of any purposeful, meaningful stuff that they've done.
Damn.
No, I'm serious. I find that, again, you've got two characters stuck in a gimmick that is so much more about the gimmick that they're going to be red party cups for fucking 15 years. Yep. And you're not going to be able to see the fucking skill that set that these guys actually have. That's my problem. I also think that Ziggler and Rude, give them the belts for a little bit, because now you have a veteran kind of presence. Also, listen, Bobby Roode's 64 and Ziggler's 53, so not going to have much more time.
Pretty much.
So,
what's your take, Simon Street, on that? You was the opposite.
My whole thing is for a totally different reason. Okay. I actually like Ziggler and Rude, but the problem is the tag team division right now, to say the least, for SmackDown is very, very shallow. So what would have been good for them to have those titles in a vibrant tag team scene on SmackDown would have been cool. Yes, I was kind of happy to see those belts being taken off of the Street Profits. I liked them as a team, but it was time, I feel. But who are Ziggler and Rude going to go against? Is it going to be Shinsuke and Cesaro? Are they teaming up again? Yeah. I mean, that's something I think of. That's all you have. And that's the problem with the tag team division, just in general.
They're gonna have rematches with the Street Profits for the next 3 months.
And I don't want that, because we Raw with them in the Viking Raiders.
Yep, bingo.
I don't want that at all. And so that's my reason why I said I wasn't happy that they had it. I want them.
You can't always have what you want, Simon.
Well, I mean, thus is true. I mean, according to Michael's, I want nuts in my mouth that happen to be an ice cream as well. That's what he wants.
The only problem you get down with having the Street Profits retain the championship is exactly what you just said. Well, then who the fuck are they going to wrestle?
Well, And the reason why I say keep them with those belts, because at least they can do something entertaining that doesn't require them having to be in a match all the time. And they did that in Raw quite a few times to where they weren't even in matches.
Have you ever watched a Ziggler or Rude? They're fucking entertaining as hell when they get the opportunity to be.
Well, true. But I was saying it just from a standpoint because I like the team and I want to see them in a very competitive, you know, tag team division, which it's not deep.
Well, no, of course not. But, you know, when you have only scraps to go with, that's what you're going to do. And the fact of the matter is until Vince dies, this is what tag team wrestling is
going to be. I know. But so, you know, it really, really sucks. And I shut the hell up with this tag team shit.
Can only
it
hope.
Sucks. God damn, man. Shit. Let's put some sugar on that shit next time. Fuck. Anyways, I think that it's unfortunate that Vince is the way he is, because right now would be the perfect time to take those Raw and SmackDown titles and make them unified again, and you have a deeper tag team that ain't fucking going nowhere but next door. Not technically, but you know what I mean. And so that way you could cultivate a better tag team. So when we do get back to regular, what regular life used to be at some point, you at least got a science. But what the fuck do I know?
Exactly.
All right.
You make it so much easier when you put the words in your mouth and not mine.
Oh, my God. Guys, you're great. I guess that's it for SmackDown, right? And nothing was showing on ROH. They actually were just doing some holiday repeats. So, yeah. So I'm sure they'll be back up pretty soon. But, man, that is practically our wrestling talk. I mean, good stuff, guys. It was a good week. Good week in wrestling despite us. So with that, we want to thank everybody in our chat. Quite a few people showed up. Javon, Shant. We had BJ come through and Ringsiders came through. Just a lot of the people who always come through and show support. Thank you for coming through. For everyone that's listening on our podcast, we thank you as well. We're on tons of platforms when it comes to podcasts. In fact, we just got on Pandora as well. So we're, you know, if that happens to be one of your favorite streaming services, you know, jump over to that, and we're on that one as well. So it's been fun. With that, we're going to end wrestling talk. And for everyone that's watching us live, just kind of hang in there as you get ready for the three count. And then, and with that, for our podcast listeners, thank you for listening. And don't forget to listen for three count tomorrow. With that, peace.
Biggest bad boys of podcasting.